blocks to revival. I believe there's a lot of things in our life would keep us from having a revival. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants to send a revival, and he's the only one that can send a revival. It always comes through the Lord. But we have to make preparations for the revival. There's some roadblocks that will keep us from having revival. There's some roadblocks that will keep us from really praying like we ought to and being the people that we should be. From time to time, even God's people gets a little careless and they backslide on the Lord. Did you know it's possible for someone to backslide on the Lord and come to church regularly all the time? Yes, sirree, that's quite possible. And did you also know that if you're saved here this morning, it's possible that you have a covered sin in your life? It is possible that you have sinned. It's possible that you have covered that sin and you have not confessed that sin. Even God's people, because we're going to talk about a man named David, and all of us knows the story about David and Bathsheba, and we know that David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was a man that loved God. He was a singer of all Israel. He was a king of the greatest king that ever was in the nation Israel. But yet this man got away from the Lord and backslidden on the Lord. You know, he sinned, and he even murdered, stole, lied, cheated, adultery. This man David, and it's possible, it shows us that you today, I don't care how close you are with the Lord, whether you're a preacher or been a preacher, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, singer, been coming for 40 years, whatever, it is possible for you to backslide on the Lord. It's possible that we see him, and now we know that we have this nature that's still in us. If you're born again, you know that you're born with a new nature. That's the nature of God, but you also know that you keep your old nature. And what keeps that old nature from winning is you feed the new nature, the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, with around the people of God, and the things of God, and with prayer, then that keeps that old nature from winning. But then whenever you back off or slack off in any way whatsoever, we know that old fallen nature that you're subject to is going to take back over, and you will sin. And when we do sin, and we will sin as Christians, and we know that we will, if everybody aware of that at this time, if you live very long the Christian life, you will understand that you will sin. Now, a lot of people think they get to the age that they don't sin anymore. They have this perfection in their life. They don't sin anymore. They might call it shortcoming. But I want to tell you that you and I are subject to sin. If you all agree with me, do like this right here. Some of you know what I'm talking about, that we will sin. Isn't that amazing? Now, we don't supposed to sin. Now, we don't have to sin. None of us. If you're born again, a child of God, you do not have to sin. But the reason you do, you yield to the old flesh, you yield to this world, you yield to Satan, and we will sin. But you don't have to sin. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and made provisions for every child of God to never sin. But yet we know that we will. Why? Because we will yield to this old flesh. This old flesh is very strong, and it's bent towards sin. Always will be. There's nothing that you can do about it. It's always going to be bent towards sin. And I want to tell you what, just as long as you're able to breathe the breath in this world, you're going to be pointed towards sin of this old nature. Until you put your last foot in that coffin, you are subject to sin, and you will fall so many, many times. But we do not have to. But I want to talk to you a man named old David now, because removing the roadblocks in his life, he was be able to get back to revival in his heart. Removing the roadblocks to revival. Now, in Proverbs 28, in verse 13, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, but it will be mostly in Psalms 51. Now, Psalm 51 is where David understood how that he had sinned and he wanted to get back with God. Now, Psalm 32, David had sinned and he had tried to hide it for a whole year. I mean, after he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed, he tried to hide it from everybody, tried to cover it up. But David understood, just like you and I hope that you understand today that if you do sin, you need to uncover that sin. You will never prosper by covering that sin. Now, we don't have to worry about looking around at someone else sitting inside of you on the pew, because this message is for you, and this message is for me, that we will sin, that we need to remove the roadblocks. If we intend to have a revival, I believe it always starts with God's people. And I just need to draw a circle and get in that circle and ask God to let that revival start with me. Now, Proverbs 28 and 13 is talking about success and prosperity. But now, really, that success and prosperity is always linked to revival. Most of the time you think about prosperity and you think about these television preachers and they teach about prosperity, that everybody's going to be rich. But not necessarily in the Word of God is prosperity talking about being rich. But it may be talking about as guaranteed that you're going to have a joyful relationship with Jesus Christ, but not necessarily a material wealth that it's talking about. God wants you to prosper, but not necessarily in riches all the time. God wants you as a child of God to prosper, but not necessarily in riches. Not necessarily in riches. Prosperity means that you will live a life of general welfare where God meets your needs and you enjoy God's blessings. No matter how much money you have or how much wealth that you have, your general welfare is when God meets your needs and also that you enjoy God's blessings. I'm going to tell you, somebody in the hospital could be enjoying God's blessings. Because that's the way God intended for us to do, no matter what shape that we're in. And someone without any money cannot pay their bills can still enjoy God's blessings. There's a blessing of life. There's blessings of salvation. Do you ever thank God for the blessings of salvation? Do you ever thank God for the blessings of forgiveness? Do you thank God for the blessing that the Holy Spirit convicts you and convicts me, and I thank Him all the time? Thank you, Lord, for the conviction power of the Holy Spirit to bring me right back in relationship with you. Because when I get through this, you cannot convict your own self. It has to be from the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, that convicts you, the condition that you're in. A lot of times people think they're in good condition till the Word of God and the Spirit of God points out some things in your life, and He'll name them, every one of them, that you need to get corrected. And when He does, He expects you to ask God to forgive you those sins and cleanse you of those sins. Proverbs 28 and 13 is our springboard on this removing roadblocks to revival. And there's a high cost of covered sin that each of us goes through in our life. Proverbs 28 and 13, let us read. He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confess and forsake them shall have mercy. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you on the eve now of a great revival, Lord. We know that you're going to send us. Lord, we're making preparation right now. Father, for the Holy Spirit, we invite the Holy Spirit of God to be with us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot even have worship this day. Without the true Holy Spirit lives within us and overshadows this church, oh God, and we invite you, God, here this day to convict us of our sins, starting with me first, God, mostly. God, I just ask you, Lord, to convict me of my sins, Father, and convict this church, oh God, of the things that we need convicting of each person, each family, each person that's represented here this day. The Father, that we might prosper and have the God, the blessing that you intend for us to have. Father, we know that we are your children. Father, we know that we have been born again. Father, but if the one here this hour has never been saved, never been born again, we ask you, Lord, for that convicting power to show that person that they need Jesus Christ in their life, that they are sinners, and Lord, they're on the way to a place called hell. And Father, without them confessing you as Lord and Savior, there's no stopping. Lord, they're on a sliding board into the very depth of the fire of hell this day. Father, how we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in these upcoming weeks and months and what you've been doing, Father, in the church, in the lives of your people, Lord. Convict us of sin, God, here this day, and I cry out, God, for mercy this day. Father, we need mercy. We do not need justice, oh God. So I want to thank you and praise you here this day, and the beautiful songs that were sung and the prayers have been offered up. God, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and amen and amen. And Proverbs 35 and 27, Psalm 35 and 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favors my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in prosperity of his saints. Praise the Lord that he wants you to have prosperity today. As I said, not necessary riches, but he wants you to enjoy the blessing that God intends for us to have each day. For us to look out our eyes and see the glory of God each day. No matter what condition you're in, that the joy that God wants you to have to understand who Jesus Christ is. Well, God's plan now for prosperity, it leads to revival, it says in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall also wither, shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. God wants you to prosper as a child of God. He wants you to prosper and understand the great blessings that the Holy Spirit of God brings through the Word of God, that you might prosper as a child of God here this day. I tell you, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to have a great revival, and revival is getting back to God where we ought to be to start with. So the cost of covered sin will keep us from having revival. It will keep us from enjoying the great joy that God intends for us to have. There should be joy in your heart this hour. If any child of God today is born again and don't have joy in the heart, it's for one reason and one reason only. It's because of sin, because sin will keep me from having joy, and sin will keep you from having joy. And sin, I'm going to tell you, if we cover it up and try to do what old David did, it will cost us a very lot in our life this day. So the very cost of covered sin will keep us from having a revival this day. There's some things in your life, in my life, I'm going to tell you what, we all understand that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there's some things that the Holy Spirit this day, as I begin to preach to the power of the Holy God, is going to point his finger at some sin in your life. The Holy Spirit always does this. He don't just point at general sin altogether and say, well, you know that you are a sinful person, but he points at the very particular sin that's going to keep you from having a great revival, and also keep you having the joy in the Lord this day. A lot of times we might say, Lord, forgive me if I've sinned. The Holy Spirit will not do that. The Holy Spirit will put his finger on that very particular sin. It may be the sin of your attitude that you have. It may be the sin that you have hurt someone's feelings. It might be the sin that you might be have told a lie, or you gossip on somebody, or whatever that sin might be. But the Holy Spirit today, well, everybody in here is going to be pointing that finger at you today and say, there's some sin in your life, and here's what it is. And the Holy Spirit will name that sin, no matter who you are, if you have covered sin in your life. David was a man, you know, find out that after God's own heart, but he had a sin. And as we get into the message, we know that old Nathaniel, he was a prophet of God at that time, and he gave a parable about David, about a little sheep, as we get on into the story. And after a while, old Nathaniel said, with his old bony fingers, he said, you are the man, David, in the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. Reason I know that the Word of God is living and well, and the Spirit of God, because it points sin out into my life, it points sin out in your life. I know it's not the power that I have this day. I have no power. It's only the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that might point out this sin. I cannot convict you of the first sin. It is the Spirit of the working of the Holy God, and he will point out that sin. It's the power that I have here by reading the Word of God, and through the Word of God, it points out sin in your life. And most of us think we are a pretty good child of God and we're doing all right, but I'm telling you, we need a revival. I hope the Word of God and the Spirit of God will let you know if you got some covered sin in your life, you will not have revival. You will not be the child of God that God intends you to have. And you're going to look at my illustrations up here, and my events is going to happen. It's going to cause you some problems in your life if you don't get these things cleaned out. And thank you for the mercy of God. In 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sin, it says, that is Jesus Christ, he's the one that's faithful. If we confess and say, God, I have sinned, not that I think I've sinned, maybe I've sinned, if I've sinned, but if we say we have sinned, the Holy Spirit of God would point that out. He said, now I am the faithful and the just one to forgive your sins, and not only will I forgive your sins, that I will have cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And that's exactly what you need this morning, and I need this morning. You may be sitting here and you may not have no sin in your life, but if you do, the Holy Spirit of God will be pointing it out. It might be when that collection plate was passed a while ago, you did not put your tithes in that offering. You put some money in that offering, but you did not put some tithes in that offering. It's a 10% of our income. It's a 10% that comes into our life. It all belongs to God. It's not just the 10% belongs to God. It's the 100% that belongs to God. He's going to let you have it for a little while, but none of it belongs to you, because because you're going to give it all back to God, because you're going to leave here at one day. But that 10%, that was offering plate was passed, I guarantee the Holy Spirit of God is going to put it on somebody's heart that you didn't tithe today. You didn't tithe last week. You are a good giver, but that you did not give the tithes that God intended for you to give. You see, we need to tithe because that is command of God, and that shows God that you trust Him with everything that He gives you this day. Well, we see this this morning, the covered sin. Let's uncover the sin. Well, cover sin to start with, it will dirty the soul. As you go to Psalm 51, and David is talking here now about what happened to him. Covered sin, if you have some covered sin and you have not confessed it to God, it will going to dirty your soul. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." David felt dirty because he was dirty. This, you know what, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, you know what, and had her husband killed, he felt dirty, and that's exactly what he was. He was dirty. David might have been taking a bath in a marble bathtub at that time. I don't know what type he was taking a bath in, but I'm going to tell you what, he was a person that needed to have cleansing in his heart. He was dirty. He was a very miserable person. Now, I'm going to tell you, he all that whole year before he confessed his sin, he was a miserable person. And I want to tell you, the miserable person they are in the world is not a hell-bound sinner, because they enjoy sin for a season. But I want to tell you, it's somebody that knows Jesus Christ, somebody confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and they're not doing what God told them to do. They're not coming to church. And if they're saved and they're not coming to church, I can guarantee you they feel dirty because they are dirty, and God is dealing with them, and you'll find out that is a covered sin. They think they are right, but God says they are covering sin, and they will not prosper. David says, now listen, I feel dirty. I feel real dirty, because you see, the worst feeling a child of God can have is being out of the fellowship with a Savior that saved their soul. If anything would bother me more than anything else, it would be that Jesus Christ. I looked upon the cross many years ago, and I saw the blood running down His face. I saw the people as they spit upon His face and pulled out His beard. I was there when they watched Him nail His hands and His feet on that cross and lift Him up. I was there whenever He says, "I thirst," and they gave Him vinegar and gall to drink. I was there whenever they put that spear into His side, and that blood and water came rushing out. And I was there at the cross. And if you've ever been saved, I can guarantee you one thing: you were saved by watching Jesus Christ on that cross and seeing that you was there, and you're the one that had your hand on that spear that put it in His side, and you're the one that had your hand on the hammer that nailed those nails in His hand and feet, and you was the one that spit upon His face. You were the one that pressed down, crown down upon His head. You was there at the cross. That's my Savior. And when He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," God, Jesus Christ, forgive me with a shed blood. That's my Savior. No matter what I've done, He says, I got all power in heaven and earth to forgive sin. Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, He forgive my sin. This is the one that I'm talking about today. And when I get out of fellowship with the one that's done so much to me, it give me life, it give me a family, it give me a home, it give me food, it gives me clothes, it give me contentment, it gives me joy, it gives me peace, it gives me gladness. And this is the one, when I get out of fellowship with this person called Jesus Christ, I feel bad. I feel sorrow because I'm out of fellowship. It makes you feel bad. And if there's a child of God, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people is on the church road and they never seen this Savior that I'm talking about. They never had an experience. They come down this aisle and they shed a few tears and they want to join a church, and they go through the water and you let them out like a duck whenever they leave the water, and they don't come back, and they don't have anything to do with God's people. They don't have anything to do with God's word. They don't have anything to do with God, the creator of this universe. And I'm going to tell you, they call themselves saved and God is their judge. I'm not their judge, but I'm going to tell you, if they ever see Jesus Christ in that shed blood on a Calvary's cross and they get out of fellowship, they will feel bad. They will feel rotten. They will feel terrible until they get back in the fellowship with God. David probably bathed in a marble bathtub. I imagine he probably had perfumed soup at that time. I wouldn't doubt if he didn't sleep on satin and sheets. Royal robe that he did wear. I tell you, but David felt dirty.
David felt dirty. Wash me, he said, Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Oh, cleanse me. If you can sin and not feel dirty, let me tell you, you are not saved. If you can sin and feel dirt and not feel dirty, you are not saved. The nature, I'm telling you, of a hog in the mud, it feels perfectly all right with them because that is their nature. I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between the lost and the saved. I'm going to tell you that a lot of times the people is talking about, you know, separation from church and state. You hear it a lot in our country, separation between church and state. I think it's about sometime we start talking about separation between church and the world. That's what we need to talk about. Separation of church and the world. Who can tell, oh yeah, they're saved and do and act like every other people in this world, and there's no difference, there's no separation in the heart and their life, and that they claim, yes, my child, you must be talking about my child, you must be talking about my relative. If they're not coming to church, they're not doing this, I ain't talking about anybody. I'm preaching the word of God. God says, you know what, they ought to be a difference. If they're not, you've never been saved. If it don't cause you to want to see the things of God, to love the things that God loves, he says, you know what, there's something bad wrong. But now listen, if you get out of fellowship with God, if you are saved, it's going to make you feel dirty. It's going to make you feel dirty because you're living in a dirty world this time. There's a test of lost and saved. If you can sin without feeling dirty and unclean, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit is not dwelling you. Listen, if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And it cannot live in that heart where their dirt comes in that heart. There will be a terrible, terrible war going on in your body if you're saved. The Holy Spirit of God dwells with you. Now, if you're saved and you say you're saved, I'm going to tell you what, you're in problem with the Lord because you got to get that out of your life. Cover sin, I'm going to tell you, dirties the soul. But not only that, cover sin dominates the mind. It dominates our mind. In verse 3, it says in 51, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Day and night, David says. It dominates our mind day and night. Test of salvation, lost or saved. If you can sin and forget it, you're not saved. If you can sin and forget it, you're not saved. If you say the Holy Spirit will not let you forget it. Habakkuk says 1 and 13, thou art a pure eyes than to hold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. I'm going to tell you, my sin is ever before me. It will be there everywhere you turn. If you're a saved person, you know exactly what you ought to be doing. You know if God has called you to do a certain task in your life and you're not doing it, it's going to be there with you day and night, day and night, day and night. You cannot get no relief from this. If we got to try to cover the sin, it dominates our mind. It is a test to know if we're saved or not. You can kick it out the front door. It'll come back in the back door. I'm going to tell you, it might show up in a migraine headache. It might show up in a disposition of your attitude that you might have. It might show up in an ineffective prayer that you're trying to pray, but I'm going to tell you, it will ever be before you. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I guard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It'd be the lack of peace with God or with anybody else. If you have covered sin in your life, you get where you can't get along with people in the church. You'll always be finding fault with a critical about them. It all may be something, you know, that you're looking for. It's the attitude. I'm going to tell you, there's two kinds of wound in this body that we have. There are two types of wound. There's a wound of sorrow and there's a wound of guilt. When you're wounded with guilt, sorrow now is a clean wound. Someone has died in your family. It might be one of your loved ones and they died, and that is a clean wound and it hurts you. But the love of God, he applies the gladness of the joy of God in your heart, and the grace of God moves in your heart with a healing balm of mercy and begins to heal your life. And you understand that death is something that God said would happen to us when Adam and Eve sinned. And then you understand that this sorrow is a clean wound. And after the period of time, he began to let it heal up in your body. And you'll understand it more by and by. But a dirty wound is called guilt in your life. It is a dirty wound. It's guilt. And it will never heal. It will fester. And it will fester. And it will fester. And it will fester. Until you confess it, it is guilt is a dirty wound, and it can never be cleaned unless it's cleaned by the antiseptic of the cross of Calvary. That blood cleansing is the only cleansing that you'll have. I'm going to tell you what, it will dominate that mind everywhere and everything that you think about. But not only that, cover sin will You see, it will depress the heart. Oh, it did with old David. It says there in verse 8 of that chapter 51, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." It said in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and behold me in thy free spirit." The king of Israel, the man after God's own heart, lost his joy. Do you know what it is, Christians, to lose your joy? You still be saved, but you lose your joy. There's no joy in coming to church. There's no joy in hearing the choir sing. There's no joy in hearing the word of God. There's no joy in being around God's people. You get where you can't stand your own self because you have lost the joy. If you have joy, you ought to come and hear the things and be with God if you have joy. But David, he was a singer of all Israel, but he couldn't sing no psalm because he had a sin in his heart that had never been uncovered. And it's the same thing with us today. It depresses our heart, and he feels very depressed. Some people fall in depression. You know what's wrong with them? They got sin in their life and have not been confessed. It's called covered sin, and they're depressed all the time. If you do not have joy, there's one reason I said it. It's because of sin. Joy is different now from happiness. I didn't say happiness. It says joy. Happiness depends on what happens to you. But joy stays with you continuously if you're in right relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says joy in the Lord always. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. It is the joy. But you see, there was a covetousness of sin in his heart. And then, you know what? It depressed his heart. But that covetousness also diseased the body. I'm going to tell you, the sin that we do sometimes will bring sin to our body. Oh, it happens all the time. This body. In verse 8, David says, "Now that bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." David felt like he was broken. He felt like he was crushed to pieces because this covered sin he had not confessed in his life from this guilt today. In Psalm 32, when he began to confess this a year later, it says now in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, "When I kept silent, I didn't tell anybody about it. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hands were heavy upon me. The moisture in it was turning to drought all summer long." It said, whenever I kept quiet, you put me in your hands and you pressed me. A lot of people think if you sin, you get out of the hands of God and you lose your salvation. Let me tell you one thing, sir. Let me tell you one thing, ma'am. If you are a child of God and you sin, I want to tell you what, God will not open up his hand and you fall out and lose your salvation. God will do this to you if you have sinned and you are a child of God. He will begin to tighten his hand around you. He began to put you in that pressure cooker of his love, and he began to apply that pressure to you. I want you to understand, you're not going to get out of God's hands. He's going to hold you tighter than he's ever held you before. He's going to put more pressure on you than you ever had before, because he loves you, and he's not going to release you until he makes you what you ought to be in Christ Jesus. You're not going to fall out of God's hands when you sin and come short of the glory. You're going to get tighter and tighter in God's hands. He's going to hold you tighter. David, he says, "You're crushing the life out of me." And sometimes the sickness of the soul, it makes the body sick. Proverbs 17 and 22 tells us, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." I'm going to tell you what, if you do what you ought to do, you'll have a merry heart. You'll be able to sleep better at night. Tell you what, you'll be able to digest your food better. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "The joy of the Lord," it says, "is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my strength. It also says in Psalm 51, in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me in thy free spirit." Joy is not, losing your joy is not losing your salvation. It says covered sin defiles the spirit. Covered sin defiles the spirit. It says there in verse 10, "Create me a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit within me." A clean heart. David had a wrong heart. He had a defined spirit. And this spirit of David, I'm going to tell you what, it was a critical spirit. It was a very critical spirit. I'm going to tell you, someone may be sitting right here and you got a critical spirit of someone else in this church. I want to tell you, you better confess that sin and get that sin out of your life, and that person doing the best they can. A person has this covered sin in their life, and they're trying to remove the sin of other people's life, thinking that their sin will be all right. There's stages of backsliding, I said, in our church. You know what? You might be coming here very regular, and you are a critical person. You're critical of all things that happens. You know, in our church, you find fault. You know, this church is not perfect. Go somewhere else and find a perfect church, and I'll follow you if you find one. But this church is not perfect. We're people, and we're not perfect. But people criticize the leadership. They criticize the deacons, and they find fault with the pastors, and they find fault with the Sunday school teachers, and they find fault with the programs that we have. We're not perfect, and they have an attitude that just not ought not to be there. You think maybe if they find fault in someone else or something else, you know why that would justify their own sin and their own life, their own critical attitude themselves. Well, David was an illustration of this very same thing that I'm telling you about. While he's in the condition of covered sin in his life, and covered sin in your life, you're going to start finding fault. You ever been around anybody? It's always finding fault. There's nothing right with this church. I'm going to tell you, everything ought to be this, it ought to be that. Someone ought to be doing this, that, and the other, or they shouldn't be doing this. And they're always finding fault because they're pointing out fault in other people's life and other things we have in this church. But I want to tell you, David done the very same thing because he had covered sin in his life. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of people today. It's always critical. They can't find anything good about God's house and God's people and God's program and God's man and God's singing. They can't find anything good about it, say about it. It's always critical and bringing something critical because they're in the same condition that David was in, the same condition. Thinking they find fault, it will help their own sin out. David now, when the old Nathaniel said, old Nathaniel gave him a story, gave him a parable about this one man had one little old sheep. He says, David, you're the king. I want you to judge. This man's got one little old sheep. He had one little sheep, all he had. He lived side of this great man, had a great mansion and many sheep, many herds, and he also had flocks and cattle, but this man only had one little old sheep. He kept him in his house. It was like his own child to him. He kept this little sheep in his house. He done everything he could for this little sheep, and that man went away one day, and that next door neighbor on everything come in, and he got that sheep. He took that sheep out, and he barbecued that sheep for his friends, and they had a great barbecue and a great feast. And David jumped down off his throne. He said, that man is worthy of death. He'll have to pay back fourfold. And then old bony finger of Nathaniel said, David, you are the man. Because, David, it's worse stealing someone's wife than just stealing somebody's sheep. And it's worse to kill a sheep than it is to kill a person. David, it's you. I want to tell you, the bony finger of the Spirit of God is pointing your heart right now. He's pointing to your heart right now, and he can tell you. David surely says, this man is worthy of death. David was very quick to judge someone else, and he himself had covered sin in his life. It's worse still. Covered sin destroys the testimony. Destroys the testimony. I'm going to tell you, about 1-4 through, it destroys the testimony. Because if you've got sin in your life, and I'm going to tell you what, and you're not coming to church as you should, by all the love and the mercy I can speak this, you're not going to invite someone else to come that's not coming, if you're not coming. There's a covered sin in your life, an unconfessed sin in your life, and you're not reaching out because you're not coming. You're not going to invite somebody to come when you're not coming. And you're not going to try, you got covered sin in your life, you're not going to try to witness to somebody because your life can't even live for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, destroy the testimony. Not only that, it does cover sin, it dishonors the Lord, what God has called you and made you for. And then the best is always last, confession of committed sin. Sin must be exposed. What is it? You know, express what it is. Sin must be expressed. And sin must be expelled. And this is the roadblock to revival. Like I said, I'm about half through. But I hope the Holy Spirit of God, and I know that He has pointed out some things in your life and my life. I know He has for me. And you're not looking at a perfect person up here right now. And I'm not looking at perfect people in this place right now.
But I can assure you there's some people sitting here that conviction, Holy Spirit of God, has touched your heart and says, there it is right there. He put his finger on the very sin that needs to be exposed and be confessed. And you remember this one thing in closing. Whenever we confess our sin, whatever it might be, oh, Satan is always around. A lot of times, many of us in here has confessed our sin, and we feel dirty about it the next day and guilty about it the next day. And here's where the Word of God comes in. You've done something, and you confess that sin, and the next day, there's something still convicts you on your shoulder about that sin again. You already confessed it. Now, here's the difference of it. Because you go by your feelings, you have confessed this sin, but you still feel guilty the next day. The Holy Spirit of God will convict you to get you to confess unconfessed sins. By now, the devil, you'll have the same feelings. He will try to convince you that you need to confess that sin again. And then you know it's of the devil, because the Holy Spirit only convicts you one time, and the devil will convince you many, many times that you need to come back and bring that sin up again. When you do it one time, it's over with the Spirit of God. But the old devil's right there. How many of you in here, you don't have to raise your hands, has asked God, Lord, I've done this, I want you to forgive me. Next week, you think about it, Lord, I've done this, I want you to forgive me. Next month, Lord, I want you to forgive me. You see, the difference is you feel dirty because you're going on your feelings. Now, what you do, you turn to 1 John 1 and 9, and you open it up to the Bible, and you turn it around. You say, devil, you see here, read it for yourself. I have confessed my sins. And that's the way you get victory over your sins you have confessed, because it's of the Word of God. Now, as we come with a song of invitation, I hope the Lord has talked to you. I certainly not convicting you, only the Spirit of God. As I said, I got about halfway through. You cannot convict yourself of covered sin in your life. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. It's only the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ said, when He, that is the Holy Spirit, comes, He shall reprove this world of sin. He shall convict this world of sin. It's only the Holy Spirit who can convict you of sin. I can't do it. You can't convict other people. It is the Holy Spirit of God. But when He does convict you of sin, He expects you, and He gives you the power then to confess that sin and come clean of that sin. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong with this world, what's wrong with a lot of us this day. We say that we confess our sin, but we don't repent of it. I'm going to tell you, we don't pray for this country, and we say, Lord, bless this country. But if this country don't repent, the prayers are not going to do no good. And I'm going to tell you, your own life and your own family, you can ask God to forgive you. But if you don't repent, it's not going to do no good. God's not going to hear it. Repentance, turn around, about face, and God will hear. As we sing this song of invitation, and we stand, please. Oh, Lord, I hope that you come today. Come and pray for some of your family.